everyone. I'm John Melke, and this is Parkside Today. I hope that you're all staying safe and healthy. And it's a pleasure to be joined by Dr. Brian Lewis, Associate Dean of the College of Natural and Health Sciences and Director of Pre-Health Programs Center for Health Sciences Department here at UW Parkside. And Dr. Lori Allen, Associate Professor of Chemistry and Director of the UW Parkside Natural Products Lab. Lori and Brian, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
So a number of things that I hope we get a chance to talk about here in the next half hour, but I want to start out with each of you maybe giving your perspective or your thoughts on the recent transition for faculty and students to online courses, delivering those for the last portion of the semester and into the summer semester. What's that been like?
So, Brian, why don't you go first?
I would say, there's obviously been, depending on the students and the faculty, it's not been easy, I would say, for anyone with this. It's been a very challenging transition. Mm-hmm. And I would say, generally speaking, I've been pretty impressed. Mm. I think the students have done a very good job of trying to be flexible and understanding about the changes that it had to happen, the way the courses were being delivered, I think an adjustment process at the beginning where people were, the students and the faculty and staff were kind of feeling each other out on this and trying to figure out what the right speed was, what the right temperature was, whatever you want to call it.
Sure.
I've also been really impressed with the faculty and staff and how rapidly they made the transition from face-to-face to online and the creativity they've had and how they're delivering their lectures, how they're delivering their labs.
Yeah.
The effectiveness of that, the quality of that, the speed of that, and the fact that it all got done. And we really didn't lose that much with this. You miss a lot with the interactions, but I think the transition went well. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I can put it.
Mm-hmm. And Lori, how about you? What's your perspective of this process?
I had the fortune of having two different types of classes to move to the online. One was a more traditional lecture, and that went, pretty much a streamlined process. The other course was an instrumental analysis lab. And I kind of want to just pause right now. I did okay. My students in that class have done just an exceptional job of adapting to the course being online. I will say managing frustration with it being, it's an instrumental analysis class and I don't get to work with the instruments.
Right.
And, I think it's just, is it ideal? No, but everyone has done a really great job of pulling together, supporting each other. They've been coming at me with questions. We're doing a final project now where they're designing their own experiments and measurements and they're all just rising to the occasion.
Wow.
And, and some of them are doing that against the backdrop of increased work hours and so on and so forth. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I was curious about is, and not to discount the work of maybe some of your colleagues in other areas, and speaking, I know I'm stereotyping here a bit, but let's say that a business class might be easier to shift that content to online versus how did you as science professors deal with the lab experience and what was that like to get that lab try to replicate that lab experience when now students were not allowed in the lab?
I think it afforded me an opportunity to really ask myself, what is it that the student needs to know and master about a given technique? I'm very fortunate that, I had the opportunity to come to campus and to make videos and to really do screen captures.
Uh-huh.
So I could really show them the load of the auto sampler. You're coming in and you have to look at your data the next morning and decide if it's good or bad.
Sure.
I had the opportunity to give them that experience. And then, through our collaborations with some of the instrumentation companies, I had access to videos and so forth that they had. Mm. So it's really kind of been, it still doesn't replace hands-on with the instrumentation, but it does a reasonable job given the constraints.
Yeah, I'd
echo some of that from Lori. I don't teach a lab course this term. I don't teach that much as a general rule anyway anymore. But everybody did a good job of making transition as easy as possible. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of really cool software programs that were out there that are, you know, interactive and, you know, did the best that they could to simulate some of these things. But I'm also going to echo Dr. Allen very, very hard on this as well. This is not ideal. This is not perfect. And what we're doing right now, temporary solution to what's going to be a temporary problem. Science is hands-on, right? I mean, science is doing. Mm-hmm. Science is in the lab. It's making mistakes, learning from those mistakes in a real-time, real-world situation. And it can't be effectively replicated long-term online. It's really hard to do that.
Right.
Supplemented with some of this? Yes, I think it probably can. Is it having us take a look at things a little bit differently? Yeah, it had to. We had to do this. Mm-hmm. I think we did a great job pulling it together in a short time period and did the best that we could. But ultimately, you got to be in the lab. You know, there's no substitute for, again, science is doing. That's the best way I can say it.
Sure.
So,
And I know, Brian, we've shared a couple of student stories. One that kind of came through the young lady's first name, or young lady's name. That was one of the first stories we did, where she's in the pre-health programs as well. But
Gabby,
yes, Gabby, correct. And I wanted to say Gallagher, and that's a student that Jody Sekas is working with, who was just interviewed today on Greg Berg's The Morning Show. So I knew there was a G in there someplace. But could each of you maybe share a couple of student stories? And I'm guessing that students have shared, you know, their experience or their perspective with this with you. And I'd be curious to hear what you've heard from students.
The story from Gabby really quick. So I actually, believe it or not, I just got off of a meeting with her right before this meeting. So Gabby is a first year student who has nearly junior level credits. And she's, I think, done a really good job of rolling with the punches and keeping it. She's got an incredibly positive attitude to begin with. And she's been highly complimentary of all of her instructors. This was especially for her, she took a leap of faith anyway this semester. And Dr. Allen knows this as well. She's a second semester freshman who's in the chemistry 2 class and taking organic chemistry simultaneously as what I'm going to call a, again, credits, leave that to the window. This is a second semester college student. And so she was already kind of embracing a fairly ambitious course load and lift.
Right.
I think she had 18 credits as well. She's been remarkably resilient and has a positive attitude and is, again, very complimentary of all of her professors in terms of the extra time they've been taking, the effort that they've been putting forward in their classes. She's been, you know, very supportive of that. You know, she's a traditional student who's in an untraditional world and I think doing quite well in the process. So, great. And again, highly complimentary of the faculty and staff in the process.
Right.
And we'll do an MCAT prep on Friday afternoons. So it's crazy.
Wow. So. Wow. And Lori, how about you? What have you heard from students?
You know, I think that I've heard that it's not easy, that it's been very difficult. You know, it's one thing for me to talk about teaching one lab class and moving that online. What about the student who's out there who's in 3 different lab classes and they've now gone online?
Yeah.
And so I think what I have heard from students, you know, is, and I guess what I'm going to say is what I'm going to remember is their perseverance, their willingness to say, this isn't great. This is not ideal, but this is how I'm going through this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have really risen up and, with dogged determination, they're making it through the semester. Wow. And I don't want to discredit anyone who had to step out because of whatever life was giving them on top of COVID-19.
How have each of you maybe changed or altered your learning, your teaching styles in the past 7 weeks? Has there been a change or a little bit of an alteration here and there? And no one can see this because it's radio, but I just saw Lori raise her eyebrows like, are you kidding me? What a question. So, Lori, you get to start.
I don't know that I should start. Brian may be the better one to actually start this.
That's fine. So for us in our office, again, I'm more in the advising area this semester than I am in the teaching area this semester. So I have still a lot of contact with students, but it's in a slightly different what Dr. Allen has with us. We've moved everything online. I mean, it's instead of face-to-face, it's been online. So the big challenge that I have had, and I know that we had in the office, and I don't mean challenge as a negative, the biggest thing to try to do is to try to find some way to replicate as close as we can that human interaction that you get face-to-face in an online format. So the ability to still connect with the students in that way has probably been the biggest change. So what I will say is, you know, everybody's workload has increased, and that's clearly here as well. We've made a huge effort to try to increase the face-to-face contact whenever possible. Mm-hmm. When the transition first started, a lot of people were still making phone calls, and that has rapidly progressed to virtual. So it's, you know, whether it's what we're doing right now on WebEx or Blackboard Collaborate, or I think I've become the master of 5 or 6 different types of virtual online platforms of communication in a short time period.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing is to increase outreach, and we were already doing a lot of that, but to really make a real solid effort to try to connect with as many students as possible and try to keep that human interaction and that feeling of belonging and connecting with people as strong as you can. And, you know, we're no longer face to face, and you no longer bump elbows with people in the hallway. So you have to try to do what you can to make the experience feel as possible.
Right.
So that's been the big lift on our part this semester.
Yeah. Lori, how about you?
I think I want to kind of circle back to maybe what I have already touched upon. For me, it was instead of trying to overfill the semester, because now it's just all online and I can just throw everything up as content onto Canvas, it was really going back into what are the core needs? What does it look like if you're actually in the lab doing it? And then how do I invite the student into that process?
Okay.
And so that's kind of where I really parked myself in trying to make it richer, not wider.
We have the pleasure of talking with Dr. Brian Lewis, Associate Dean of the College of Natural and Health Sciences and Director of Pre-Health Program Center for Health Sciences Department here at UW-Parkside, and Dr. Lori Allen, Associate Professor of Chemistry and Director of the UW-Parkside Natural Products Lab. Brian, give us an update, if you can, on our pre-health students, our pre-med students, the RUSH program, and how has all of this COVID craziness impacted that highly visible program?
How much time do you have, John?
Show's over. Show's over.
Sorry, too. I mean, we're done. Thank you, everybody. This has been a massive, massive issue for our pre-health students. We can start with our RUSH students that were selected for their research and community health internship projects over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the RUSH program, John, I know you know this 2-year program we have for pre-med students between us and then the School of Medicine and Public Health at UW-Madison.
Mm-hmm.
So this program where the students for the first summer get to do community health experiences in mostly rural health and urban health centers with populations that have restricted access or significant limitations in access and quality health care. They do that for the first summer, and the second summer they go up to UW-Madison and do research with clinical faculty in the School of Medicine. Well, that's not happening this summer.
Right.
That you know, they haven't canceled the program. They're moving into some sort of hybrid online experience because they want the students to still, you know, be honored in that program. They haven't come out with what this is going to look like just yet, but that's the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then the students now have invitations to come back the next summer and do what they were supposed to do this summer, you know, assuming everything, you know, gets back to normal.
Yeah.
So that's been a disruption. You know, our students that have been accepted to medical school and are starting this summer might have to start virtually. Might have to do anatomy as a virtual laboratory. Right. I was actually just talking with one of the directors of admission for a local professional health program. He said their gross anatomy class starts in July, and there's a good chance social distancing is still going to be in play.
Yeah.
And how do you service a group of 150 incoming pre-med student or medical students when they can't put their hands on a cadaver.
Yeah.
So it's a massive shift for learning temporarily, at least for how that's going to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
Students I have that are going through the application cycle right now, it's been, again, a significant challenge. They were working on getting their volunteering hours, their shadowing hours, their clinical hours. Well, as of St. Patrick's Day, that stopped cold.
Yeah.
So there are students who didn't get the hours they thought they were going to get. We just went through a massive issue because with the MCAT exams, those started in March. All the March dates, all the April dates, and all the May dates got canceled, and students just were able to re-sign up for their MCATs today.
Wow.
So it's you know, the application process is delayed. So there's been a lot of uncertainty and a lot of confusion with, as you said, this very highly motivated, highly charged group of students.
Right.
In terms of, you know, what impact is this going to have on their application. So again, we've been doing everything we possibly can to stay on top of this with our students. You know, I'm probably meeting with a dozen of them every week for an hour or so, just talking through options and possibilities with this rapidly changing landscape. So it's been a significant shift on that front.
Yeah. And I do want to we hope there are people listening to our listeners know that we're recording this program on Friday, May 8th. And we'll be broadcast a couple weeks later. So if you hear that that mention about something happening today, this is being recorded on Friday, May 8th, just to let people know there. And Dr. Allen, last summer I received more calls about the Natural Products Lab from the community saying, oh, how do I get in touch with, who do I get in touch with, how can I do this? And I viewed that as a really interesting positive, that here was the community calling, looking for information. The Natural Products Lab, tell us a little bit about that project, how that went last summer, and where does that stand now with the issues around COVID-19?
Well, you're very much correct. The summer was quite busy. And we ramped up to be able to do the industrial hemp testing for local growers for their potency.
Mm-hmm.
And we were very active with that. And I guess I want to pause right now and say, you know, that the actual testing and so forth within the lab is being done by students. And so it does provide that practical training and putting theory into context, into action, if
sure.
you would.
Sure.
We have been from the start, we have been looking to do this, what's called ISO 17025 accreditation.
Okay.
And so we're moving forward with that. And in fact, I think that sometime over the summer, we'll have an on-site inspection and be moving to a point of being pending in that category. We have not lost or skipped a beat. There are still growers out there submitting samples.
Okay.
There are individuals out there who are processors, and they're infusing various products with CBD oil, and they're coming to us for some testing and evaluation. And so it's kind of been nonstop in some respects.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. How has the, and I may be stating this incorrectly, and if I do, you can just say you stated that incorrectly, John, but it's an interesting project in that it's very public facing. And maybe one of the more public-facing educational lab-type programs that UW Parkside has. How has that process developed, or that partnership with the community developed?
Well, I think in that context, what we were looking at is it was happening in Wisconsin, right, in terms of what's happening nationally. But definitely a number of people businesses getting involved both with the hemp growing as well as the processing. And so I think that there was a process that said this may be an emerging need. Mm-hmm. It is in natural products, and we have expertise in our chemistry program in the area of natural products, two faculty members. We have expertise in, trying to come up with the proper terminology right now, and that's going to escape me. But also in terms of just plant development, plant cycle, environmental concepts. And so we put together what's referred to as a natural products concentration in chemistry.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a being in the middle of something that is going around within the community and trying to say, do we have expertise to help in this area?
Okay.
And that came back as a yes.
Yeah.
And then through, I think we had conversations with DATCAP and conversations in terms of, do we want to do the ISO certification, yes or no, pros and cons. And there was just a general sense of support, I think, across the board for us to move in that direction.
And certainly the number of growers and processors in the state over the last 2 years has just increased in a great deal, right?
Absolutely. I wish I knew those numbers, and I should. But I want to say, like, the first year, they maybe had, like, 300 applicants. And then year two, which is the year that just finished, it was somewhere around 1,200.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Interesting. A question for both of you. How has this experience maybe changed you, or what have you learned from this experience of the last 7 or 8 weeks?
I would say I've learned a couple of things. Is that while this process, again, has not been perfect, right? It hasn't been across the board. Not everything is, you know, the happy stories across the board. There's been some struggles and challenges that have gone on with this too. So I don't want to, you know, just paint a straight rosy picture.
Yeah.
But what I've really learned out of the whole thing is that, and I really mean this now, what I've learned a little bit is that your university has to be bigger than brick and mortar. The spirit of the university is more than where you are. And it's more than the building that you walk through. I think I've seen a lot of character and a lot of heart from the faculty and staff, and especially our students.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the spirit of the university that's more important than the buildings that they're in. The university goes on, and it's going on fine. No, it's not perfect.
Yeah.
But that the spirit of our students, the spirit of our faculty and staff are stronger than COVID-19, and they're stronger than just about anything. So it's kind of reaffirmed my belief in the university. It's reaffirmed my belief in the human spirit and the ability to succeed through just about any weird circumstance you could think about. And it gives me great hope moving forward that no matter what's coming here, we're going to find a way to get through it. We're going to find a way to weather it. There's nothing that can't be accomplished when you pull everybody together on the same page. And so to me, that's been one of the things that I've learned. And that's work related, and it's home related, and it's life related. But yeah, really it's impressed me and made me really realize that it's more than about the brick and mortar. It's about us. And that's been big for me. So.
Interesting. Lori, how about you?
Well, I think I'm a little bit more senior than either of the two of you. And so I've had the opportunity, and I think that's the way I'm going to say it, to actually pretty much be on campus daily. So I was declared an essential employee.
Mm-hmm.
And in that capacity, I've had students actually coming on campus because they're involved with various projects, fulfilling client needs. And some of that has been the natural products lab, and some of that has been outside of that arena. But as I sit in my office and I can look out and I can see the young adults out there, and some of them are doing the disc golf, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Frisbee golf, may or may not have that right. Mm-hmm. And I think about my students that have been coming to campus and carrying on. And I think about the student that I know in one of my classes who was asked to step up and started working like 40 plus hours a week in addition to being in a chemistry major and being under a full course load.
Wow.
So I kind of look back at it and say, you know, the youth, the young adults, the next generation, they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some resilience, they've got some fight, they get some grit. They may be more technology savvy in terms of the phone and the apps and all that, but beyond the app, they can connect with each other.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of COVID-19.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, it has been pretty interesting to see how different parts of society have, you know, have worked through this challenge. And today I was going to talk with a colleague, and I said, "Oh, do you have time for a call?" And the answer back to me was, "Sure. Which way are we going to do this?" And I thought, "Oh, yeah, let's see. Microsoft Teams, WebEx, Zoom, you know, like, pick one out. How are we going to communicate here?" But the fact that there are opportunities to, you know, to get together and to see each other, even though not in person, I think is important and says a lot for the human need to see each other, right? Not just to be seeing people. If close with this question for each of you, if you could go back to early March, anything that you would do differently at the start of this process than as you've come through it. I know we've done and really the time frame for getting courses online and doing that in such a condensed time frame was a pretty amazing feat. Anything you would do differently?
I think I've come to that conclusion because the semester at the start for me was rather busy. And so the last thing you want to do as an instructor is negatively impact your class. So I didn't want them running ahead of me and not having that feedback and that interaction. Hmm. And I kind of have a regret in that I started the semester slowly. And so I need to turn around and look at every lab session that I have that is face-to-face as making 110% the most out of it I can.
Oh.
And that'll start the minute we go back face-to-face.
Yeah.
So that the regret would still be there going online. You do lose out in that lab environment, but I could have given them more, and I didn't.
Interesting. Dr. Lewis, how about you?
I was thinking about this a little bit, and I'm not sure what we could have done a lot differently. So this came up fast. I think we responded pretty fast and made some pretty decisive decisions pretty early in the process to be on the safe side and try to get people off campus as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure I would have done anything differently because I'm not sure we could have anticipated doing anything differently. What I'm hoping is that moving forward, we learn to do things differently.
Mm.
And we're a little bit more adept at being able to make switches quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping that one of the things I noticed with this is it's clear we can move fast when we need to. I'm hoping that one of the lessons that's learned from this is hey, we can move fast when we need to. We can adapt rapidly and make some pretty big decisions and make them effectively when we really need to. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really think there's much that we could have done differently. I can't think of much I would have done differently. You know, maybe stocked up a little bit more on toilet paper. Just have some of that lying around. But I'm hoping what we get more out of this is instead of reflecting back as to what we might have been able to do differently, looking forward to what did we do well here and how can we be better prepared for this if something else comes up in the future and just trust ourselves that we'd be able to get it done and get it done quickly.
Sure, sure. Well, I know that, and again, thank you for the time today. I appreciate it very much, and I know you've shared some of the things you're proud of with your faculty colleagues and with your students. So those were interesting perspectives, and I appreciate that. We have been talking with Dr. Brian Lewis, Associate Dean of the College of Natural and Health Sciences and Director of Pre-Health Programs, Center for Health Sciences Department here at UW Parkside, and Dr. Lori Allen, Associate Professor of Chemistry and Director of the UW Parkside Natural Products Lab. Lori and Brian, thank you very much for the time, and stay healthy as you work through the final week final week here at UW Parkside, the virtual final week.
Right. Well, thank you, John. You too. You take care.
I will do
that. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. To hear past editions of Parkside Today, please visit uwp.edu/parksidetoday. Thanks for listening, everyone.